We designate this time to celebrate the fact that you loved us so much that you sent your Son into this world to be the spotless Lamb, to be our Savior, to be our Messiah, to be Emmanuel, which means God with us. So we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your presence in our lives. We thank you for the hope that we have in you. We thank you for the salvation that we have and can experience in and through what you've done for us. And so today we just want to praise you. We just want to thank you, and we just want to worship you for who you are. We love you so much. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Would y'all stand with us this morning?
Seated this morning. And we're going to go ahead, and just because it's Christmas doesn't mean we're not going to take an offering, so we'll go ahead and do that right now. Dear God, we just thank you for this day that you've given us today, Lord, and just all the things that it means, God. We pray that we just won't forget it this morning, just the reason that we're here, the reason that we celebrate this time of year, God. We pray that you'll bless our tithes and our offerings this morning. We ask these things in your name. Amen.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild. Sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake, oh, at the sight. Sing alleluia. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born.
Away in a manger, no crib for a Jesus lay down his sweet head. The stars in the sky look down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay.
Would y'all stand again, please?
The cattle are lowing, the poor baby wakes, but little Lord Jesus no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my cradle till morning is night.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace.
Let's pray together again. God, you brought something into this earth that only you could bring. And that's a peace. And I know today there are hearts in this room, there are people in our community, there are people all around the world today that need to experience what your word tells us about, and that's a peace that passes all understanding. We understand it's a great time of joy and celebration for so many, but we also understand that it's a time that's difficult for so many others. It's difficult to maybe even be here today. And so, God, I pray today that you would do what only you could do, that the celebration of a Savior would stir within every single one of us today. The kind of love that you've shown us, the kind of love that you showed to all of creation today. Many people all around this world have gathered to celebrate. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of that special celebration today. It's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Well, I just hope that every single one of you got exactly what you wanted. And if you haven't yet, the day is not over. Man, Santa was so good to me. You got to be really careful what you ask Santa for, because it's hard to sneak it down the chimney sometimes. But we just had a great time. We stayed up last night at our house, and we watched Christmas movies till about 1 o'clock this morning. And we've just had a great time. Brought in Christmas together with our family last night. But it's so special. I tell you, it is so special to be able to be here with you today, to be able to worship together on Christmas with our family, who we love so dearly. We're so blessed, and we thank you for being here today. Over the past several weeks, I've been sitting over here looking for my glasses ever since we started, y'all. And luckily for you, I found them, because now I can see my notes, and it is best for all of you that I can see my notes. But man, over the past several weeks, we've been celebrating and talking about the fact of what it means to worship our Savior, what Christmas truly means to us, what it means to worship, what worship looks like. And it's been my prayer over the past several weeks that God has stirred something within you about what it means to worship Him, and why we should worship Him, because we look back at what He's done. We look at what He's doing. And then we look at what he's going to do in the future, and how can we not celebrate? How can we not worship our Savior and what he's done? And I just want to tell you today, I met with a young lady before church today, and it makes Christmas even more special as she shared with me how she wanted to accept Christ as her Lord and Savior. Whew. It's what it's all about. None of us could be saved without Christmas, without what he did. And so we celebrate that today. Today we celebrate and we worship him when we fully and truly understand what he did for us and why he came to celebrate the Messiah that was expected. And you know, people were looking for the Messiah for centuries, looking for the one that would come and be their Savior, the one that would come and be Emmanuel, which means God with us. And that's what God did on that very first Christmas day, as we call it. He came to be with us. He physically came to be with us here on this earth. And I just want to share with you, it's very special. We've been looking at pieces of the Christmas story for the last several weeks leading up to today. But today I just want to share with you the entire event as it's recorded in the book of Luke. Chapter 2 this morning, and it goes like this, very familiar story. Maybe some of you have already shared it with your families this morning or last night, but just a reminder. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the lineage of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory, picture this, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Don't miss what the angel said. We see this all throughout Scripture. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news." They brought us good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly, a company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And so they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This was a glorious event. Can you imagine? As we read it, we kind of get an idea. We kind of get a picture of what it was like. But this was a glorious event. This was a night of praise. This was a night of worship. And we often sing that popular Christmas song that we just closed with there called Silent Night. That song, Silent Night, was written in 1818 in German. And it was translated actually into English some 50 years after that, around the year 1870. Today, that song that we sang together, Silent Night, is being sung all around the world in over 300 different languages today as people have gathered to celebrate our Savior. Silent Night, Holy Night. All is calm, all is bright. And it's an absolute beautiful song that captures for us the peace that heaven's child brought to this earth some 2,000 years ago. But if you think about it, after we've read the story and saw the events that took place, and we understand a little better what actually took place there at the birth of our Savior on that first Christmas, it was probably anything but silent, right? It was probably anything but silent and calm. Because what we find as we study is it was probably a very hectic town. In the little town of Bethlehem, it was being inundated with all these visitors and all these travelers that had come in because of this census that had been ordered, and they were commanded to do this. So every room was filled, every spare room, every inn, every place that someone could be, people were. And there was just a chaos throughout the city and throughout the area. I want you to think with me for just a moment, those of you that experienced the nightmare of what we call the Conway Commons. Just a glimpse of what hell's going to be like, folks. That kind of crowd, those kind of people. You know, think about the crowds that you've endured at the shopping malls over the past few weeks. Everybody's in a hurry. Everybody's stressed out. People being rude because they can't get to where they need to be, or there was no room available where they wanted there to be a room available. But imagine the noise of that crowd. That crowd of frustrated people and what was taking place as they were being forced to return and to do this, which none of them really wanted to do or participate in. And it was definitely no ideal time for someone to go into labor, for someone to be having a baby. And so what do? Well, Mary and Joseph, we know they found a stable, didn't they? They found a stable. They found an animal stall, if you will. Not only an ideal time to be having a baby, but definitely not an ideal place to have a baby, especially the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Many of you enjoyed the benefits of labor and delivery rooms. Right? There was no labor and delivery. There was no hospital bed. There was no doctors. There were no nurses. And I want you to imagine this morning the surroundings that they were in. There were sheep. Filthy, dirty, noisy, stinky sheep. And then throughout the stalls of that stable could be heard the cry of labor pains penetrating and echoing through the night. And then the baby, a newborn baby, filling his lungs with air for the very first time and crying out in the night there in that stable. God became flesh. And yes, I believe he cried. Because we see throughout Scripture that's what Jesus would do. And crying is what babies do. We see that Jesus cried over Jerusalem one time. We see another time where Jesus cried over the death of his friend Lazarus. And I believe Jesus cried like any baby would do when he came into this world. It wasn't such a silent night. We saw here in verse 13 of Luke chapter 2 where it says, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God. This was a tremendous choir. A tremendous time of praise. An angelic choir had gathered to worship, and this night was far from silent as they celebrated Jesus, as they celebrated our Savior. So maybe it wasn't so silent, but the good news for us is this: it was a holy night. It was a holy night, because in the middle of all that chaos, in the middle of everything that was going on and all the circumstances and situations that were far from ideal, God gave us the greatest gift that we could ever be given. He gave us a holy gift. And so on this day where many of us got up early this morning and opened gifts, and maybe we'll continue on throughout the day, over the next few days, we'll continue to spend time together, and we'll laugh, and we'll eat, and we'll enjoy the company of friends, and we'll enjoy the company of some of our family, and we'll be glad when some of them leave, right? I mean, it just is what it is. But it's Christmas, and we open gifts, and we enjoy, and we share, but we must never lose sight of the one true holy gift that we have been given, and that's the gift of Jesus. Today we celebrate His birth, but His birth was only the beginning of what you and I have to celebrate today. It's only the beginning of what the gift truly meant to each and every one of us that have accepted Him. We were reminded last week, if you were here, that Jesus was born to die. He was born to die for you. He was born to die for me. He was born to take our sin upon Himself, to be crucified on a cruel cross, and die for you and me. And so it takes us this morning from the stable that we celebrate to a table that we find later on in Jesus' ministry and His life. And it was the night before He would be crucified on that rugged cross. And Jesus observed with some of His closest friends and disciples what we now call the Last Supper, or the Lord's Supper. You see, the story goes from a stable to a table, from a baby who was born in a stable, who, think about it, who was totally dependent upon humanity to take care of him and raise him, to the table, to be a sacrifice that humanity was totally dependent upon him now to save us, to save you and to save me. And it was at that table where Jesus said, every time you gather together at the table again to do this, He said, every time that you gather together, I want you to take the bread and I want you to take the wine and I want you to do this in remembrance of me. And so we're instructed in the Scriptures how to come to the table, how to approach the table, how to remember by gathering together at the table in the sacrament of communion, or the Lord's Supper, as many call it. The Apostle Paul, he shares with us how we are to do this, how we are to remember. I want you to listen to what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 25. He says, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord Himself on the night that He was betrayed. The Lord Jesus took some bread and He gave thanks to God for it. Then He broke it into pieces and He said, 'This is my body. This is my body which is given for you. Do this to remember me.' In the same way, He took the cup of wine after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant between God and His people, an agreement confirmed with my blood,' He said. 'Do this to remember me as often as you drink it.' This is the true meaning of Christmas, folks. Yes, the birth was so very important. It was so important that he came as a baby that night in that stable, but it was because of the death and the resurrection that we can have life. It was because of the death and the resurrection that we can experience real life. We can experience eternal life. What a gift. And at the time when Jesus was about to give his life as a ransom for you and for me, Jesus took the bread and the cup and he says, "Do this to remember. Do this to remember what I've done. Do this to remember who I am. Do this to remember what I have done, what I am doing, and what I'm going to do in the future." He said, "Do this to remember me." And Paul went on to say it like this in verse 26 of that same passage. He said, "For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup," here's what you're doing. "You are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again." So when you take part in communion today, as we come to the table today and participate in communion, here's what you're actually doing. Here's what you are actually saying. You're proclaiming. You are announcing, Paul says, as you participate in communion today, you are announcing that I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the birth of Jesus. I believe that he is the Son of God. I believe that he came and that he died on a cross for me. I believe that he rose from the dead on that third day. I believe that he now sits at the right hand of our Father. And I believe that one day he's coming back to get me. That's what we proclaim. That's the announcement that we make today as we receive communion and participate. We're announcing to the world who we are and whose we are. How special. That's your announcement as you participate and come to the table today. We make this announcement. We praise him. We join with the shepherds as we worship him. We join with the angelic choir that had gathered to celebrate and to praise and to worship. We join with the wise men who traveled miles and miles and miles to come and worship the Messiah, to come and worship the Savior. We come today and we join with all of creation as we praise him, as we worship him, and as we remember what he did, what he's doing, and what he's going to do in the days ahead. I want to ask our ushers if they would come back at this time and assist me as we distribute communion this morning. And while they're coming, I want to tell you this. The Church of the Nazarene does not require that you are a member of our church in order to receive communion, okay? The only thing that we ask, the only thing that we believe is required of Scripture is that you are a member of his church, that you have accepted him and you've placed your faith in him and you are a Christian. So if that's you here today, you're invited to come to the table and to receive communion today. If you have believed and received Christ as your personal Savior, you're invited to participate. Now, many ask about children. They're your kids. If you would like for them to participate in communion this morning, you feel free to let them do that. I think it would be a beautiful example, a beautiful thing to teach them of what this means when we receive communion. We're making this announcement. It says who we are and whose we are, and we remember what he did, what he's doing, and what he's going to do in the future. So you feel free to allow your kids to participate if you want to this morning. Thank you. Did everyone that would like to participate this morning receive a communion cup? If you peel back the top foil on the top of the cup, it will first uncover the bread first and then the juice. So I would ask you, if you would at this time, please remove the bread. If someone around you needs assistance, please take a moment to help them. I know these can be difficult sometimes. Jesus said this about the bread that you're holding. He said, "This is my body, which was broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So today, let's eat the bread and remember and make them an announcement that we are His because of His body today. Let's eat. Now you peel back the foil to expose the juice. Jesus said this about the cup. He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." He said, "When you drink this, do this in remembrance of me." So let's drink of the cup and remember the blood that was shed so that our sins could be forgiven today. Would you drink? Let's pray. Dear God, what a beautiful reminder today of what you've done and who you are. We thank you today so much for loving us enough to send us a Savior, to take our sin upon your shoulders and to go to a cross that every single one of us deserved. But yet you paid the price for us. You paid a ransom that we couldn't pay. And for that today, we celebrate. We announce that we are yours. We announce and we celebrate and we worship who you are to this world, who you are to us, what you've done, what you're doing, and what you're going to do in the days ahead. Dear God, thank you for this time that we could come together, that we could come to the table. Celebrate this together. Celebrate your love for us. And God, I just pray that if there be one here today that doesn't know you, that hasn't accepted this free gift that you offered us through your Son Jesus, that today would be a day that they would find a quiet place just to come before you and to surrender their life to you and accept you as Lord and Savior of their life. Because there's really no hope in our life or in this world without you. And so, God, I pray today that if there would be one here today that hasn't surrendered their life to you, today would be a day that they would receive the greatest gift that they could ever receive in all their life. And then that they would make that known and they would make that public and take the next step of baptism in their lives. We celebrate what you've done. We celebrate what you're doing right now. God, we can't wait to see what you're going to do in the future. We love you so much. Thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. There are trash cans that are located by each of the back doors this morning. If you wouldn't mind taking your trash and dropping it in the trash can.